young lover, just close to me, right in the morning. Here, as we count in the story of the experience of Krishna, thank you, brothers. When the Lord's pastimes appear in the material world, it's necessary to play out different realities, avoid even temporary realities, so that the conditioned souls can relate to them. If everything has disappeared one day just from the public eye, just the curtain of the open eye was drawn, that would be very difficult for anyone to comprehend. So when the pastimes appear in this world, so many things are there, the pastime of birth, pastimes of disappearance, killing the demons, and so on and so forth, so many. Just to make the Lord's pastimes come within the grasp of the conditioned souls. The Lord had requested in God that before this last pastime takes place, before the destruction of the Yadu dynasty occurs, I want you to proceed to Radhikaksha. But because of Uddhava's great attachment, he still followed Krishna when he left from him, and he actually witnessed the entire event. Of course, the family members of Krishna are not ordinary persons. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the eternal cowherd were associates of Krishna. They expand as the sons of Krishna work. He even points out that some great soul in the future will give to us the names of each of the persons, who they are in Vrindavan and who they are in Dwapara. So Prabhupada and Sri Vishnu Chakrabati points out that the sons of Vishnu are not ordinary persons. Not only are they expansions of the Kava work, but all avatar, they're all expansions of Krishna, the power expansions, such as Anandamayi Prajnana, but also all of the other sons. Although sometimes, as in the case of Uddhava, on this particular occasion when the Lord of Pastimes manifested, then one of the demigods took the position as Uddhava. This happens sometimes. And the original Uddhava carried on his eternal pastimes tradition there in the spiritual realm. So some demigods do come down. Some of them get to enter into the body of the particular son of Krishna along with the original personality. Some of them take that position by the grace of the Lord. We have to try to understand that these pastimes are 100% transcendental, even when they're manifested in this material world. Yes, they came together, they played the Brahmas very nicely, and after doing that they took the permission that we may also eat. Along with their food they took a wine made from rice. And generally when elevated persons get intoxicated, they slowly fall to sleep. But on this occasion, due to the influence of the internal energy of the world, the Yadus, instead of falling to sleep, they started behaving as low-class men do when they become intoxicated. They started insulting each other, calling each other's name, and slowly made each other very angry. And then a fight ensued, from which they all destroyed each other. Just a handful of persons were left after that fight. Famously, when Samba, one of the sons of Vishnu, had dressed up as a lady, pregnant lady, and gone with some of his brothers before the Brahmins, and requested them, "Can you tell us what kind of child she's going to have?" The Brahmins became angry with them and cursed them. "Yes, you will deliver something to the destruction of the entire Yadu dynasty." And indeed, in the course of time, a lump of metal was delivered from the side of Sangha, and that metal was handed over to Ugrasena, king, and he had it pounded, smashed down into powder, and thrown into the ocean. Well, that came back from the ocean to the place called Prabhas Chakra, where the Saraswati enters into the Western Ocean. And some of that came up as rice paddy, and some came as kusa grass. And that rice, when it was picked, it was made into wine, and that was wine made. Drank on that occasion, got intoxicated. And as they were getting angry and started to fight with each other, that crucifix they pulled out of the ground and was very sharp, and they were fighting each other and stabbing each other with that grass, which by that time was like iron and spears. So in this way, the Lord utilized the curse of the Brahmins to take back from this place his family members and to close up his pastimes. So of course, as Indar is remembering these activities, it's very painful to his heart. But he was told to stay behind. Of course, he was requested not to witness, but somehow he couldn't resist following his Lord and seeing final pastimes of the Yadus, departure, and eventually Krishna's departure. And now as he recounts his pastimes to Vidura, as they sit in the bank of the Yamuna, remembering the Lord of their heart. Then the distress has reached its maximum. Vidura himself is very distressed that the Lord has left. But he's also very joyful by this point, because Vidura pointed out to him that before Krishna left, he remembered Vidura. So he's feeling simultaneously a great joy that the Lord is recognizing him as one of his devotees, and great distress that the Lord has departed from one of his intimate associates. This distress, believe it or not, is the goal of life. Thinking that when we get free from this material world, there'll be no more anxiety, no more distress. But actually, as one goes deeper and deeper into devotional service, as one develops a deep mood, a blood, And there can be, each time Krishna goes from this place to that place, great pain is there of separation, great distress of when he will return, constant anxiety of how to please the senses. And yet that cannot be understood by the distresses and anxieties of this world. There's no way, there's no comparison. But that anxiety brings the greatest pleasure. Residents of Vrindavan, residents of Dwarka are anxious for that anxiety. They're anxious for that distress. Because they know that separation brings you. And it's also understood that you know in the separation. Very great, indescribable, intense mood of love for Krishna and Dwarka. Residents of Dwarka, same percent attached. Constantly desiring to be able to satisfy him more. Constantly in anxiety, giving him great pleasure. But still, that love which is felt there is not even a minute speck of the love which is obtained, possessed by the residents of Vrindavan. Their love is so inconceivable that this great person after he died, he became bewildered when he saw it. Completely bewildered. It was beyond his mental and intellectual capacity to analyze and understand the love of the good justice. Thus he expressed his desire to Krishna. But please allow me to be born as the lot of the grass there in Vrindavan. For the dust of your lotus feet will fall upon you. But this love which is obtained by the Vrindavasis is possessed by the Vrindavasis. That which Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says is beyond all description. That as soon as you try to analyze it, it goes beyond your grasp. But this love is attainable by the mercy of Gaunitai, by the mercy of Rupa Samatai, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. This love is quite attainable. A journey in the Samatai movement, a constantly glorifying Radha Krishna and their associates, of constantly remembering pastimes, pastimes of Bhagavatam, constantly associating with the Vaishnavas. Prabhupada points out specifically here that he went to Dwarka to associate with the devotees there. Not just to go on a pilgrimage, not just to do some austerities there, but for the association. We can perform all kinds of austerities, but if we don't get the association with Vaishnavas, then the heart will never become soft. The heart never becomes soft, and the bhakti lata beach will not be able to break through and blossom the pure love of Krishna. process of association, sharing the traveling, giving, Shusman, God saying, is sharing these activities with the Vaishnavas. The process of association with the Vaishnavas is the opportunity in this world to practice devotional service to Krishna. Being Vaishnavas, by serving Vaishnavas, by inquiring in Vaishnavas how they are. Rupa Goswami points out that all of the practice of Sadhana Bhakti can also be rendered to the Vaishnavas. Thus we've been given this opportunity to be able to follow in the footsteps of Uddhava, Madhura, and all of the other great personalities who find here in the pages of the Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam, which is descended from Goloka Vrindavan, which is non-different to Radha and Krishna and their associates. One of the main processes of association, come together with the Vaishnavas and hear and read the Srimad Bhagavatam, to discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam, to know Chaitanya Bhagavat points out the Lord is manifested, that the original personality of Bhagavat is manifested in this world in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vaishnavas, Tulasi, and the Ganga. And by associating with these, one can very quickly enter into the association of the eternal Vajrasas. Of taking full shelter of the mood of Navadvipa, Adoya, this mood of glorifying and distributing, allows one to enter very quickly into the shelter of Navadvipa. And what is going on throughout the Bhagavatam? What is assuring wonderful pastimes of Krishna, wonderful descriptions of Krishna. Here Uddhava is speaking with Madhura, then Madhura will go and meet with Maitreya, again they will discuss, and so on throughout the pages of Bhagavatam, constantly. Sukadeva speaking to Parikshit. But not just speaking, constantly recalling one discussion of the other after the other with Vaishnavas. That yes, at this time Radha Muni was speaking with such and such a person, at this time Radha was speaking, constantly he's referring, remembering, not directly, not claiming, oh yes, I witnessed this, I witnessed that. But I'm an intimate associate of the Lord. Thus. This is the mood we find throughout the Bhagavatam. So today there is an intimate associate of Radha and Krishna. But at no point is he claiming directly, yes, I was witnessing this or my dear Parikshit when I was there or when I was here. No. He constantly taking the association with the Lord that so-and-so and such description is to place. And this is the process. keep constant reference to previous chapters. Constant reference. As soon as you say, "Well, I think," it is my opinion, then it is no longer in the realm of life. When Bhadravacharya approached Sri Damodara and said that I have a commentary on the Bhagavatam, which I have compiled from my own insight, and which I think is even more intimate than that of Sri Das, immediately it was rejected. But this is not the mood of Vaishnava. Vaishnava is anxious to become a servant of a servant of a servant. Because he knows that is what pleases Krishna. When his devotee is satisfied. Later when he adjusted his mentality, then he was susceptible to the family of manipulations. But this process, this process of becoming more humble than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree, and devoid of a sense of prestige. This is the process. This is the bhagavata process. That we're able to see the disappearance of the others through the eyes of the Sampradaya. It has been passed down. And we're able to see those pastimes. If we look through their eyes, there is not some far removed thing, but it is the most elevated situation. You, Srimati Radharani, she's ever anxious to render new service to Krishna. Millions and billions have made service. Anxious to serve. She's anxious to satisfy Krishna, even to the point that if some other devotee's service is satisfying to Krishna, she quite happily becomes servant of that person. Why? Because Krishna's senses are being satisfied. And that's what makes the devotee happy. We don't need to concoct anything new. Because these personalities, these eternal Vrijavasis, they know how to satisfy Krishna. So the Vaishnavas are quite happy to choose. No reason to concoct anything new. Quite happy to see through the eyes of Sukadeva Goswami, see through the eyes of Vidura, of Uddhava. Quite happy to repeat what all these great personalities have said. But we have to be careful. We have to be very careful. That as we repeat this knowledge, and this knowledge enters into the ears of others, they will appreciate it. Then they will start praising, "Oh, you know so much." But the fact is, what do we know? We know nothing. We're simply repeating what all of these great personalities spoke. And what happens at that time when it's repeated purely an order of personalities are speaking to that person. That is the focus. And ultimately, when service is rendered purely, and that service is in connection with the topmost, As long as we stay in the line, that's sannyasa. As long as we stay as meaningless, more humble than a great class, void of all senses. As soon as there's some false questions, oh, yes, I know. One great personality. Great pundit came to Rupa and Samatha and said, oh, come here. I'm traveling everywhere and discussing this about you with different persons. So you please either argue with me or sign my Vijaya Patrika. First he went to Samatha and goes, Swami, because he was seeing the most Vaishnava in Vrindavan at that time. Sometime immediately he signed his paper, which he's called a great pundit. Then he went to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami immediately signed all this. Go away. Jiva Goswami, he refused. He wanted to show that pundit that he should not misunderstand the humility of the Vaishnavas. What do they not know? They're in contact with the Lotus Feet of Krishna. That he defeated that person and sent him on his way. But after Rupa Goswami became angry with him, that what you're doing, fucked up boy. Why do you have to show your learning from this person? Simply for the sake of becoming known as the most learned person. Of course, Jiva Goswami's motive was to defend the Vaishnavas, that they should not be, order was not being in possession of the topmost understanding of Shastras. So we have to take both rules. For ourselves, we have to be very tolerant. But to glorify the Vaishnavas, to protect the Vaishnava movement, then we can become like the tiger. But we should never become proper. Think that it's on my strength and on the human justice. But we should see it as a service to the Vaishnavas. And immediately when the job is done, come back to the position of the cookie. Vaishnava is always satisfied, because he's always submerged in the ocean of pastimes of the service of that. Doesn't have anything to do. Yet, for the welfare of the conditioned souls, is willing to take on that mood and will die. The footsteps of the Goswamis, Gornita, and distribute this wonderful ocean of devotion to everyone. Now is the month of Purusha time, which occurs when approximately every 3 years. I found it occasionally in the informal of the precincts every 3 years. When two full moons somehow come within one solar color. Actually, the extra month actually stretching the month which is pausing into 2 months. Just like the pausing the month of Kartik becomes a Mahakartik. Pausing the month of Shravan becomes a Mahashravan. The month of So it's stuck in the center, from the dark room to the dark room. In different Puranas you find different descriptions of this monk, different stories. I mean, Jinananda was telling the story of Prabhupada's previous life yesterday. There are several stories in the Purushottama Mahatmaya, the Skanda Purana also, in the Padma Purana. But actually this Purushottama monk, Sadiq Mas, extra month, was adopted by Purushottama, Sri Krishna, Prabhupada. Has special protection of Krishna, considers this month to be his month, especially feeding Vaishnava to this month, particularly giving charity and being Shiva. Bring unlimited benefits. In fact, if one wastes time in this month with material activities, then very disastrous results. Because this is considered to be, materially speaking, the most inauspicious time that can be possible. Most inauspicious. Even it's known as Mula Month, Stool Month. But this is from the material world. Vaishnavas, they understand this month, especially the serving of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tulsi, associating with Vaishnavas, bathing in the Ganga. They understand this, so they don't need to waste their time with unnecessary austerity to attain different benefits. Srila Rupa Goswami said that once one attains the topmost Vrindavan, Radha Krishna Seva, then what benefit does he attain by going to other holy places, by serving other forms? What benefit? Simply the trouble one undergoes to do it. Fast the whole month for what? To attain another body? There may be footsteps and never be done, that's available. By once leaving a Vaishnava, that's available. By chanting the holy name, that's available. By bathing in the Ganga, it is available. We should not waste our time when we have the topmost. We should take the opportunity on such special days to increase those activities which are the topmost activities. Study of Bhagavatam, chanting of the holy name, association with Vaishnavas. All of those activities of devotion. And yes, to increase those activities, and there's nothing wrong with decreasing our intake of foodstuffs. So we can speak less. But it should not be our main activity that I will follow this path or that path with the hope of gaining such and such benefit. Raghunath Das was practically not eating. Approximately 200 meals of buttermilk a day. And not as some dry austerity. We're just maintaining his body and that so he could spend his whole time absorbed in chanting the name of Krishna and glorifying Krishna. In the nine processes of devotion. We're so much absorbed that we didn't think about it. But if we are thinking about it, if we are in anxiety about it, we take Krishna. Because there's no benefit at all to fasting. Constantly thinking, oh, I'd like to do something. Constantly being in anxiety. So we cannot chant the holy name peacefully. We cannot run the service peacefully. Because we're constantly thinking of the so-called austerity. And what will be the result of thinking about our anxieties? We won't be pushed to God. Ranyakashipu, standing there on his toes for thousands of celestial years, not taking water, not breathing air, and that time so many Ekadashis, so many important days, so many important months went by, but in the end, he was the enemy. To understand what the state is for, they have to save time to render more service. If we're not on that platform, then better we take Vishnu Pachacha with satisfaction and get on with serving Vishnu without anxiety. Otherwise, the only result is Vishnu Pachacha says, the trouble we went through to do it. The injunction of austerity is also is a Vedana law. Austerity is similar, studying is in twos, traveling in threes. So this kind of austerity we don't need. We need Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. One moment, one sixth of a moment, the association of Vaishnavas, being more benefit than all the austerity you can possibly imagine. We're giving up our food, we're giving up our sleep, we're giving up our breathing, we're giving up our meditation to nature for that association, and that is wonderful. We're giving up those things so we can chant Hare Krishna more and more. That is wonderful. We're simply giving it up for the sake of giving it up, thinking that there's going to be some wonderful benefit at the end, then we have not understood the teachings of Srila Prabhupada nor the previous chapter. The goal of life is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Meditating on how hungry I am, how tired I am, is not remembering Krishna. Any questions? Can you believe this? We can be sitting here listening and thinking something else altogether. We can be sitting by the radio and thinking something else together. We can be absorbed to the degree which we are absorbed in remembering Krishna. The degree which remembrance of Krishna comes to us, that's how much benefit there is there. Of course, if we want to look on a much lower level, every activity of Krishna service has so much benefit. But if we want to look on an absolute spiritual level, then the living entity must be conscious of its spiritual activities and service. Otherwise, so much bhakti speech is there from every activity. Somebody just happens to get on the wrong bus and come to another people and start walking around. Get so much benefit from every step. And not the same benefit as somebody who's absorbed. That will come when they actually get to quite the situation. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. But are we getting the same benefit as Haridas Thakur? performing the same activity without getting the same benefit. Only if we're totally absorbed. Yes, there's so much benefit to the mechanical activity of listening, seeing, hearing, smelling. When we become conscious, and doing it for Krishna's pleasure, then we enter into the eternal devotional realm. This is dependent on getting proper association and developing a right desire. But this is what we want. We want to become a servant. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.